From WNYC, New York Public Radio, this is Soundcheck On Demand. I'm John Schaefer. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by DataPipe Managed IT Services, delivering a comprehensive suite of managed services, including implementing, securing, and scaling applications designed for mid-market and Fortune 1000 enterprises. DataPipe.com.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Still to come, the behind-the-screen deals that put albums on the front page of iTunes. But right now, sound artist Bill Fontana. He can't leave a bell alone, it seems. A few years ago, he created a sound sculpture for the most well-known clock bell in the world, Big Ben in London. Starting tomorrow, he is broadcasting the long, silent bells of the MetLife Tower into Madison Square Park. The project is called Panoramic Echoes, and it will mark the start of spring tomorrow. But Bill Fontana joins us today. Bill, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you for having me.
So what's the fascination with, I mean, you've done many sound sculptures over the years, but bells is kind of a recurring theme. What's the fascination?
Well, recently it has been that way. What interests me about bells is that their ability to travel through space and to kind of define a large volume of space in an urban environment. And I have a peculiar way of listening to sound. I try to listen to sound from different perspectives at the same time, or at least I imagine what it would be like to hear a sound from different vantage points at the same time. And I imagine traveling at the speed of sound, it gives you a cubist kind of multiple image of a sound.
So if you're standing in front of a tower with the bells ringing, you're not only hearing it, but in your mind's ear, you're wondering, what would it sound like if I were on the other side of town?
Or if I was on six different rooftops in the neighborhood and I was hearing them at the same time.
Is there something in the history, the historical importance of bells? I mean, you know, used as a cry of alarm, used as a sort of an all's well kind of thing in European history especially?
Well, I think in the case of Big Ben, I was interested in it because it's the most famous acoustic icon in the world, probably the most famous sound in the world.
Yeah.
And it's a symbol of time. And it was created in 1859 in the Victorian era, and it was also the symbol of social control, you know. And I wanted to deconstruct it, actually, so you couldn't tell time with it anymore. And I was commissioned by the Works of Art Committee of the Palace of Westminster to make a sound portrait of Big Ben. And what I did is created a live interactive composition that made it impossible to accurately tell time with Big Ben any longer. And so the Big Ben was really making music with itself. So there were live microphones and in the bell tower vibration sensors on the clock mechanism. So, and every stroke of the bell and tick of the clock was repeated seven times later. And the range of the delays went up to about 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm. So you had this cascading echo kind of
effect.
There
was this cascading effect, so that the sounds, you couldn't tell anymore. You couldn't be certain really what was the right one, and the sound itself was quite beautiful.
So this thing you're doing at Madison Square Park to mark the beginning of spring tomorrow, you're reviving a sound that hasn't been heard in New York for a number of years, and that is the bells that are up on top of the MetLife Tower.
Well, the MetLife Tower is an interesting structure. At the time it was built in 1908, it was the tallest building in the world. For about 4 years, it had that status. But
that's a long time back then because, you know, all of these buildings down at this end of Manhattan were the tallest building in the world at one point or another.
They took turns.
Right, for like a week or so.
And the design of the MetLife Tower was modeled after the design of the Campanile in the Piazza San Marco in Venice.
In Venice, okay.
And to this day, the MetLife Tower is still the tallest bell tower in the world. And there are four bells on the top of it, that are programmed to play Westminster chimes or Westminster quarters. And for about 80 or 90 years, it rang every quarter of an hour. And for some reason that I don't quite understand, the bells were turned off.
About 5 years ago or so?
I don't know exactly when. And they'd been silent for a while. So it seemed really important to me as an artist to reactivate them for this piece in the park.
All right. We're speaking with Bill Fontana, the sound artist who is doing just that with his piece called Panoramic Echoes, a sound sculpture launching tomorrow at noon at Madison Square Park at Fifth Avenue between 23rd and 26th Streets. Are you actually reactivating the bells, or did you somehow manage to get recordings of the bells?
No, I have four live microphones up in the bell tower that are transmitting to a digital mixing system in another building. And the bells actually ring every quarter of an hour from 10 o'clock in the morning to 6 in the evening. And so if you stand in the park, you'll hear the natural acoustic sound of the bells. But also I've got four really unusual loudspeakers on the rooftops of some buildings surrounding the park. These are giant parabolic speakers made by Meyer Sound in Berkeley. These speakers are the size of spotlights, and they project these very intense focus beams of sound. And this, the four speakers are connected to the mixing system wirelessly. So there's a control center. And the sound, the live sound of the bells from the MetLife Tower go through a cascading effect similar to what I had done with Big Ben's. But when you stand in the park, you'll get this real-time, quite, in my opinion, very interesting sort of series of echoes coming from the tops of the buildings with the bells. You heard a recording of that at the start.
All right. Well, actually, let's hear a little bit of it again. The sound of the bells from atop the MetLife Tower, which Bill Fontana is using as kind of source material for this sound sculpture tomorrow. All right, so those are the sounds of the bells, which have been reactivated, Bill Fontana, for your piece opening tomorrow. But it's not just bell sounds.
No,
there are kind of environmental bird sounds.
There's lots of bird songs.
Why?
Because it's springtime, and if you stand in that park, you have this slightly, you have artificial nature there. It's not real nature. It's, And you are surrounded by these high buildings, and the basic sound of the park is traffic noise. And I wanted to create a kind of magical experience with an international collection of songbirds that are kind of descending from the heights of the buildings into the park,
That's very fanciful. Are these actual recordings that you made in various parts of the globe?
Right. From local to far, very far away.
So you have like Asian and Australian birds suddenly
European
transplanted
birds,
to
right.
Madison Square Park.
Right, and all of the birds' recordings go through a similar sort of phase echo kind of structure that the bells go through. So
the
birds are also kind of echoing.
So right, as with the bells that we just heard, the birds in the background, this is sort of the natural, unadulterated, recorded sound. But then it gets fed through this set of parabolic speakers, and suddenly it's echoing and cascading again.
Right.
Bill Fontana is my guest. His piece is called Panoramic Echoes, and it launches tomorrow at 12 noon and runs for how long?
I believe it's until the 1st of May.
Okay. Now, you've done a lot of other work putting sound from one context into another. I was in London last summer and got to walk across the Millennium Bridge, which goes from St. Paul's Cathedral to the Tate Modern, crosses the River Thames. You turned that footbridge into a kind of huge, long string instrument.
Right.
Explain how that was done, and perhaps more interestingly, why.
Well, I was fascinated by the sounds that the bridge makes. And I had was working in London a lot, and every time I went to London, I would put vibration sensors on various cables of the bridge just to listen to what the bridge was doing. And I became kind of obsessed with that as a potential sound structure. And I had the opportunity to propose a project for the Tate Modern to put in the turbine hall, and it seemed like a really interesting connection to make, putting that sound in that space. One of the things that people would say to me when the piece was there was some people thought the building itself was making that sound because it's a old industrial.
It's an old turbine, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So some people thought the building was doing this naturally.
But this is, in fact, your recording of the bridge, the Millennium Bridge in London,
right,
sort of activated by wind and by people walking across it.
Wind and people walking across it. And the way the sound was picked up on the bridge was with an instrument that engineers use called an accelerometer, which is like the scientific version of a contact microphone, but much more sensitive.
Okay. So if you ever wondered what a bridge sounds like, this is what it sounds like in London. Harmonic Bridge was the name of Bill Fontana's sound sculpture in London last summer, which took the sounds of the Millennium Bridge, which Bill, when it was first opened, had to be shut down because of the, the kind of harmonic stresses in the bridge. It was genuinely dangerous to walk across.
Well, it actually wasn't dangerous. It was just made people uncomfortable.
It made them sick. I mean, the bridge was sort of going out from under your feet.
It acquired the nickname the Wobbly
yes.
Bridge.
But so this is one of those occasions where you point to the sound and you say it's meant to sound that way. This is the bridge activated, as you say, by the wind, by footsteps, and captured by this accelerometer,
right,
and then fed into this huge Tate Modern space.
Turbine, cathedral-like space.
So you're again getting that kind of echoing effect. So when did you develop this fascination with space, with echo? I mean, you're a class, you have sort of regular, quote-unquote, regular composer training.
Right.
When did you make this kind of left turn, this detour?
I think it began quite a long time ago because I became interested in sound, in my experience of sound, my perception of sound in the world as a kind of musical act. You know, for me, listening became a form of composition, and I started to systematically make recordings of whenever I was listening to some ambient sound or some situation that I thought was particularly interesting. And as I developed this, I realized that the acoustics of a space where you hear the sound tremendously influences what you hear. If you'd ever had the experience of going into an anechoic chamber, which is a room without any acoustics, and you make the loudest sound you can make, you'll find out that it's almost nothing.
Mm-hmm. And the conversely, singing in the shower. You know, where you have all kinds of resonance bouncing off tile walls and stuff.
So in a way, for me, in a way, all sound that I hear is somehow a description of the space that it's in.
So with the piece tomorrow, with Panoramic Echoes at Madison Square Park, is it your hope that, when the birds and the bells die away for a moment, that people will have kind of tuned themselves to the actual sounds of Madison Square Park and hear city traffic as musical?
Well, that's an interesting point that you raise, because the way the composition is structured is there are silences built into it so that any of the bird segments that I play and the bells, which only happen four times in an hour, are interspersed between varying lengths of silence. So you're constantly framing the natural ambient sound of the park. And I think it does start to play tricks on your perception of the sound in the park.
So that opens tomorrow at noon, runs through the beginning of May at Madison Square Park. And then what's next? Are you back to London after that?
And on the 23rd of April, I'm doing a new live version of the Big Ben piece, Speeds of Time, which can be heard on a beautiful courtyard adjacent to Tate Britain and the Millbank part of London.
All right. Well, for us here in New York, it's Panoramic Echoes launching tomorrow to celebrate the beginning of spring at Madison Square Park at 12 noon. My guest is Bill Fontana. Bill, thanks very much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you for having me.
There's a new gatekeeper in the music industry. It's iTunes. Coming up, find out why Apple employees have so much say in the music that you buy. This is Soundcheck. Thanks for listening to Soundcheck from WNYC, New York Public Radio. Each day we dig into what's happening in music, and you can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. All of this is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. Thanks.